Let's pray. Well, Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our dear friend. You say in John 15 that you don't call us servants, but you call us friends because you have made yourself known to us, O Lord Jesus. And so we praise you that we are yours and you are ours, O God. We praise you that you have not left us in our state of rebellion against you, but you have come after us through Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross in our place. But, O Lord, that is not just a one-time event and then we go along with our lives. No, Lord, having been redeemed by you, Lord, we now walk in you. We live in you. We move and have our being in you. You, O Lord God, are our greatest desire. It is to you and for you and by you that we live, O Lord God. Yet you know our hearts. We are fickle. We are weak. We are easily led astray by sin that so easily entangles us, Father. So, Lord, I pray now, as we search your word, as we study your word, O God, that you would bind our wandering hearts to thee. That you would draw us with your loving kindness, with your perseverance, O God, to yourself. That our hearts would find our way home to you, Lord, and never to leave you again. That you, Father, would graft us into Jesus, that we would abide in Him all the moments of our life and on into eternity. Help us with that this morning, O God. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I pray that you are born again. I pray that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have trusted Him with your salvation, with your eternal life, that you have looked upon Jesus as the only way to the Father, and that by God's free gift called grace, that you have put your faith in Him, that you have hoped in Him and on nothing else for your eternity, but on Jesus' work on the cross and His work alone. And then life begins. It doesn't end there. Then life begins as we are born again. And our life in Christ is just the same as coming to Christ. It is Christ is first. Christ is all. He is our all in all. And we live and move and have our being in Jesus. How do we do that? How do we go about that? How do we go about drawing close to Jesus and staying close to Jesus? How do we go about drawing nearer and nearer to Jesus all the days of our lives? How do we battle against the distractions in this world that come at us, that want to draw us away? Sin within our own hearts, the enemy of our souls, the devil, who want to pull us away, who want us to be apathetic towards Jesus, who want us to see other things as better than Jesus. That is the great lie of our age. That whether it's entertainment or leisure or power or money or sex or anything is better than Jesus. The great lie of our day. How do we then see the truth that our heart's greatest desire is drawing ever nearer to Jesus? Our passage this morning is going to address that. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 2.
1 John chapter 2. This morning we will look at verses 24 to 29. We're going to go back two verses that we did look at last week, but it all kind of comes together nicely and the outline flows all together here. As the Lord is going to help us stay close to Jesus, reveal to us how we can stay close to Jesus as we go about our daily lives. Don't you want that? Isn't that just something that your heart calls for? To be close, to be near to Jesus, to draw near and to fellowship with Him on a moment-by-moment basis, to abide in His presence with Him, because that's what I'm looking forward to for heaven, right? For all eternity, to be with Jesus in His presence. And yes, to have no more sin and no more sickness and no more disease, and then have faith become sight, to have love be fulfilled perfectly, eternally. But the joy of heaven isn't that it's like a Christmas morning when you get all this stuff. That's not the joy of heaven. The joy of heaven is Jesus Himself. And so I want that now, too. I'm jealous for that. Maybe that's the wrong word. I don't know. But my heart feels this yearning to draw nearer to Jesus, to be in His presence more clearly, more wonderfully, more in a more abiding way. And so let's look at our passage this morning to see if we can find God's counsel on drawing and staying near to Jesus. Please follow along as I read from verses 24 to 29. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise He made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are going to leave you. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as He taught you, abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. So that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. This is God's Word. Staying close to Jesus. How? First in this passage, He tells us, let God's truth remain in us. Abide in us. Let God's truth abide in us. Verses 24 and 25. How do we stay close to Jesus? We have His truth abiding in us. The Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, we must have it with us on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day, throughout the day basis. We must stay close to the Word of God, which is the truth of who Christ is, the teaching of God, that we may stay near to Him. Apart from this, we will wander. And as we've said so many times, I know, and I have to remind myself again and again and again, the truth that I lived and feasted on yesterday isn't going to sustain me today. Just like the meal I ate yesterday was for yesterday, and I must eat again today. So the Word of God that I read and meditated on and studied and memorized yesterday. I don't know about you, but my brain is, the stuff flies out of there real fast. Right? And I need again today now to have the Word of God come in. It's not just about memorizing the words. For example, why do we memorize Scripture? I know for many of us, we don't do a whole lot of that anymore, to our detriment. But why does God call us to memorize Scripture,
to kind of check it off so that we can kind of say we've done it and we can kind of get good stars in our Sunday school classes? No, of course not. Why? Why does God want us to memorize Scripture? So that we can bring it back and recall it in the moment. So that we can dwell upon it when the need arises in our life. So that it is living and active in the moment that we need it. Because we need the living Word of God every moment of every day. When we read the Scriptures, it might be passages that are so familiar to you. But that doesn't make them useless. As we read the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is working in them, is activating the truth and the power of God's Word to us, to our hearts and to our lives and to our minds. That's why when we say the Lord's Prayer again and again and again and again, it doesn't need to be repetitious. We're praying those words. We're earnestly calling out to God and seeking Him through those words. If you read the 23rd Psalm or John 3:16 or Romans 8:28 or wherever some of the more well-known passages of Scripture are to us, it's not old news. It's the good news. And we need it every moment of every day. We must let the truth of God remain, abide, dwell, live within us. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. It is. I would just ask that we would encourage one another in this, that we take these opportunities as we gather on Sunday morning around the Word of God, as we have Bible study opportunities, that we gather together, as we have fellowship and men's prayer breakfast together, that we gather together around the Word of God. As you meet in your homes, as we meet in our homes, let us gather around the Word of God. That God's truth would remain in us. Because in His truth remaining in us, we are drawn closer to Jesus. Secondly, let God's anointing teach us. Verses 26 and 27. If you remember the context of this letter, there are those who are giving false teaching within the church, and they've now separated, and it's been very devastating for the church. They were friends and thought brothers and sisters, and you fellowship, you spent time with them, but they started teaching strange things, and because they were good, friends together, you let your guard down a little bit on discerning whether it's true or not, and so you begin to get confused. And then they leave because they're in this elite mindset of this clique mindset that you have to have a special knowledge, a special teaching apart from the gospel in order to truly be saved. And then they're gone now. They've separated themselves, which I know sounds like that's a great thing that they left the church. But it was devastating to the people. It was confusing to the people. And their false teaching was confusing. And so John is reminding the people and saying, if you want to stay close to Jesus, you need to listen to these words. And so he says in verse 26, I write these things to you, this letter itself, about those who are trying to deceive you, these Gnostics. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, he's not saying that we don't need teaching. Let me look at that verse there. You have no need that anyone should teach you. What he's saying is, you don't need this special teaching from a human perspective, that anyone, any human being, needs to teach you some super secret stuff in order for you to be with Jesus. No. What you need is the abiding Holy Spirit who dwells within you to bring all truth to light and to help you to understand what the Scriptures teach. John's obviously teaching them. His whole letter is teaching. His whole gospel is teaching people about the truth of Jesus. But he's saying, remember, you have an advocate. You have a counselor. If we are born again, believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Truly. And God sends the Holy Spirit for a purpose. The Holy Spirit has many roles. The work of the Spirit is many faceted. Right? He brings spiritual gifts. He brings the fruit of the Spirit. He convicts the world and convicts us of sin and righteousness. But one of his tasks, one of his roles, is that he illumines us, opens our eyes to the truth of Scripture. We often think and talk about that a non-believer can read Scripture. There are many scholars, wonderful biblical scholars around the world, who are not believers in Jesus Christ, as strange as that may sound. And they have wonderful knowledge of the Scriptures. But apart from the Holy Spirit, and apart from abiding, dwelling, remaining, sitting, opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, illumine us, enlighten our hearts and our minds, we cannot truly know the Scriptures. We see this in a number of passages. I'm just going to read from a few from John's Gospel. This is also John writing. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. It's the Holy Spirit who's called the Helper. He comes to help us. And He's called the Spirit of Truth. We stay close to Jesus. We draw close to Jesus when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth of who Jesus is. To illumine our hearts and our minds and our souls to know the truth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit teaches us truth and draws us closer to Jesus. When we abide in Him, when we let God's anointing by the Holy Spirit teach us and inform us, not the latest fad, not the latest trend, not the latest bestseller book. There are things that can help us draw close to Jesus, yes. I just would suggest to you, anything that's new should be suspicious. If there's a new way of following Jesus, a new way of drawing closer, if something is new that the Lord hasn't revealed to His people over the past 2,000 years, let's at least read it with a critical eye. And let us trust the Holy Spirit, who really is in you, to reveal the Scriptures to us. Not to reveal some new revelation. We always must be careful. The Holy Spirit is not going to reveal something counter to Scripture. I always say this as a extreme example. Right? If the Holy Spirit is telling you to, or if you believe the Holy Spirit is telling you to commit murder, He's not. That's against the Scripture. The Holy Spirit illumines the truth of the Scripture to us. I know maybe you feel, and I get it, it's hard for me too, but when you're reading the Scriptures, you're like, oh, I don't understand sometimes. That's okay. You know what else we do? We pray, and we read it again. And we pray, and we read it again.
trusting the Holy Spirit of God to illumine to us what we need to know, the truth of what we need to know, that the Lord desires for us to know. I have a couple more passages here, speaking to the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to open our eyes that we may know and see and draw near to Jesus. John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. So He's going to testify to us and to our hearts about the truth of Jesus, the reality of who Jesus is. He's going to bear witness. And then we, in turn, become Jesus' witnesses also. One more verse. John 16, verse 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we draw close to Jesus? Number one, we let God's truth remain in us through His Word. Number two, we let God's anointing by the Holy Spirit teach us, be our guide, be our lead, be our helper, be our counselor. The Spirit of truth. And number three, how do we stay close to Jesus? We let our life be rooted in Christ. We abide in Christ. You see that word throughout this whole passage here, each of these three sections, that we are to abide. We are to abide in God's teaching. We are to abide by God's Spirit. And now we are to abide in Christ. Abide, dwell, live, make our home with Christ. Verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. The picture there is then of a Christian who, or someone who comes and believes in Christ and then does not abide in Jesus. Spends their life apart from Christ. Spends their life wandering away and pursuing the desires of your own heart. And then Jesus returns. And the reality of His Lordship is made known to all. How will we feel in that moment? It says that there will be shame. And going, can you imagine those moments? If you could picture a life spent that way. Maybe you've prayed the sinner's prayer, and then you just sort of lost interest. Like the parable of the sower. And the things of this world maybe kind of grow up and choke out the Word of God, or we allow the evil ones, the birds, to come and take this good seed away from us. And you come to the end and you face Jesus and go, what have I done? Maybe you've gotten on a computer and started playing some computer games, or you're on your phone and you start on some whatever, I don't know, Words with Friends, I don't even know what they are, whatever they are, right? And you're like, I'm just going to play for a couple minutes. Right? Then like 4 hours later, right? Like, what have I done? I've blown the day. Or you sit down and, you know, now Netflix makes it, or, you know, and Amazon, whatever, and make it so easy, right? Remember back in my day, you had to watch one episode a week. You had no choice. But now, we can binge, right? My kids always go nuts. They're like, oh, this one ended in a cliffhanger. No kidding! Guess what the next one's going to end with? And before, if there was a cliffhanger, you just accepted it. But now you can hit the... In fact, you don't even have to hit the button, right? It just automatically starts for you, right? I hate that. It just starts up again.
grabbing for the remote to try to stop it right before it. Where'd the remote go? Right, yeah, and digging to the couch. And then four episodes go by, and you go, what have I done? What have I done with my time? Those are such small things. Come face to face with Jesus. What have I done if I have spent a life not abiding in Him, not drawing near to Him, not staying with Him on a moment-by-moment basis? That's the warning here from John. Abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence. So when He appears, it won't be like, oh my goodness, that's Jesus. It'll be just like, Jesus, we're hanging out, and then Jesus is there, and it's just a continuation of the moment. Joy, yes, but it's just a continuation because we've been abiding with Him, and now we abide with Him perfectly. Root our life in Christ. And there's a confidence in this. A confidence in our salvation. If you want more confidence in your salvation, draw closer to Jesus. Abide in Him. Well, how do we do that? Well, Jesus describes in John 15 a vine and branches. That Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And when the branch abides, it's the same word, abides in the vine, then the branch will bear much fruit in our lives, which is what God has created us for. If the branch gets cut off from the vine, it can't grow fruit. It can't live. It withers, it dies, and it goes away. But if it abides, if it draws deeply into the vine, then its life of the vine is flowing through it. The vine then goes about and sends out deep roots to go and find water and nutrients. This is the vine who does this. And the vine draws them in and sends them out to the branches to give life, to bring the life-giving sap to the branches, which will eventually, in the vine's perfect timing, create fruit. Right now you look out and it doesn't look like there's anything living out there. The branches look dead and there's no fruit because it's not time yet. But it's all working. The vine is working. Even now. And what does the branch do? How does the branch go about creating fruit? Nothing. Except abide. Except stay attached to the vine. There's hope, I'll just say, for those of you who feel cut off from the vine. I'm not a gardener. Most of the vines I deal with, I try to kill, as you guys know. My lifelong battle against bittersweet vines. Bittersweet and skunks are my mortal enemies. If you are a branch broken off from the vine, if you feel separated from Christ, you feel you're not abiding with Him, you can be grafted into the vine. And gardeners can do this. They can take a cutting. Hester can tell us about it. Owen, so can Colleen tell us about it. Many of you others can too. Gardeners here. We have some wonderful gardeners here. You can take a cutting off of a plant and you can actually graft it into the main part of a plant or a tree, and it will grow and it will live and it will become one. Right? Is that right? Don't I have that right? That's possible in some. Okay. All right. But we must abide in the vine, which is Jesus. And it's in the abiding that we draw closer, that we are filled to the fullness of Christ. How do we draw close to Jesus? We let God's truth remain in us. We let God's anointing of the Holy Spirit teach us. we let our lives be rooted in Christ. Remembering the picture, you know, I remember when I left, I know I've shared this before, but forgive me. When I left my company to come here, left working in business to become full-time pastoring, there was a relatively new believer that he and I had been meeting together weekly to study the scriptures and to pray together. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. But he was still a new believer when I was leaving, and I wouldn't be seeing him every day like I used to. So I was just trying to think, what's one simple message? What can I just try to impart to him and leave with him that will, something he can hold on to? And this was it. No matter what, abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. In closing, I just want to read from John chapter 15, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking to us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Stop striving. Stop trying to create and produce and to make all everything happen that you think is supposed to happen. Our job is to abide in Christ and let him work through us, accomplishing his great purposes, drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper into himself. Let's pray. Lord, would you please draw us to yourself through your word, through your spirit, through our remaining and abiding in you, O Lord God. Give us each and every one of us a fresh season of fellowship with you. Fill our hearts with longing and desires for you above all other things of this world that will distract us, Father God. That you would be glorified and we would have great joy in you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.